scale. And Mr. Briggs, we're going to change the number on this then?
Yes, it's 27. So it's R3 2009-0027.
0027, okay.
Well, and
yes.
If I may?
Sure.
So this is one where we're dealing with discretionary penalties with actually having a minimum of $3,000 per violation for the 20 violations. And what I think would be appropriate is to consider the factors that Mr. LaCaro put up on the screen. Remember, he highlighted the green and the red factors as far as what the prosecution team considered. And I guess I would give that just a little bit different balance. And this is one of those things where it's definitely an individual judgment. There is no magic formula here. And my guess is that you would all come up with five different answers if you did it independently. But to provide you with a recommendation, it seems to me that what weighs heavily is that this is not a discharger that has failed to take action when we've issued notices of violations or other enforcement orders. They did pursue a major overhaul or basically replacement of their treatment plant at significant expense. They did realize that it looked like they would have a problem, especially associated with the chlorination facilities and the type of chlorination that they had, but they made a judgment that rather than jeopardizing the entire project as far as significant delays, it would make sense to go ahead and complete the project as a whole and then see how they do and if they need to pursue an alternative disinfection system. They unfortunately have had problems with the chlorination system, and so they now, on top of the previous significant expenditure, have indicated that they're pursuing UV disinfection to solve those problems at significant expense. So it's not a discharger that is not trying hard, and I take Mr. Swanberg's statement to heart when he said the penalties are not going to make them pursue this any faster or work any harder. That does seem to be the case. You have a pretty extensive summary in here of various actions that they have taken as far as moving the probes around, trying to have the equipment be more responsive and react faster. So they're taking interim actions. They're taking a longer-term action in terms of capital expenditure. So I don't see them as being a recalcitrant discharger in that regard. On the other hand, we do have significant exceedances here. These are not minor exceedances, especially for the ones where the concentrations exceed the instantaneous maximum of 2 milligrams per liter. But anyway, to cut to the bottom line, what I would recommend is actually something pretty similar to what you were exploring, Mr. Chairman, where we look at the violations that were 2 or less and use the minimum penalty for those. And for those remaining violations, which are 8 violations, I used an increased amount per violation, not as much as what the enforcement team was recommending. So what I recommend is that you use $5,000 per on those 8, which gives you $40,000, plus the 12 times 3 is $36,000 for a combined total of $76,000 as an appropriate penalty.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Briggs. Board discussion? Mr. Hodgson?
I was going to vote against this because I thought the penalty was excessive. I'm pleased to hear Mr. Briggs' suggestion, and so I can support that when you're ready for a motion.
Okay. Mr. Hayashi?
I do think that was a little bit high. But, you know, given the current situation in the state of California today and also given the situation that the CMC is doing everything they can do to get through this, I think that anything more than a $3,000 penalty per occurrence would be out of the question at this time. Mm. And that's just my own feeling. I mean, I don't know what other way to do it. I was in Sacramento the last 2 days, and it is not a pretty picture up there right now. And the money that's going to come out of this deal is going to come out of the taxpayers in the end anyway. And all we're doing is we're taxing ourselves. And we're penalizing ourselves above and beyond what we need to at this point.
Any other comments? Dr. Hunter?
Just briefly, I understand Mr. Hayashi's views on the problems that the state is facing right now, and we all recognize that lots of things will change as a result of the situation we're in. However, I still feel that these problems are typical of systems that haven't kept up with the knowledge and the science that inform protection of water quality. And I would hate to send a signal to others with similar systems, also aging systems and challenges in meeting reduced standards, that we're going to somehow lower the bar even for a short period of time, however long it takes the state to get back in line. So I would support Mr. Briggs' compromise, I would say. I was for a higher penalty, but I do agree that we have seen the effort with a new plant and with a lot of attention to the problems that surfaced immediately, no pun intended, but surfaced in the early operation. But I do feel that there may have been an interest in paying attention and figuring out those problems because of the focus that the board put on those violations. And so I think we have a role to play as well in assuring that continued high level of effort is what the state will support. And so I would go along with the compromise that Mr. Briggs put forward.
Okay. Mr. Jeffries?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't going to say anything, but...
You don't have to.
Now that you opened the door. Since I'm the longest tenured member on this board, we've historically had numerous problems with the men's colony facilities. I was very happy to see a number of years ago that the warden stood in front of us and I wouldn't say guaranteed with a new plant that would resolve all the problems that they had. But it obviously has not. And I think Mr. Hayashi has brought the issue up that, you know, we're basically taxing ourselves. But yet, just because it's a state agency, we shouldn't treat them any differently than we would to a private agency. And I understand that they have tried to mitigate the issue, but I think that the issue was brought up when they talked about building a new plant with the chlorination was going to be a problem, if I remember correctly. The reason that there's no way to identify the fish kill, because the fish are all dead because of chlorine discharge over the period of years and time at below the discharge point. So that's why they can't find anything there. It's pretty much gone. And I think we took a field trip out there a year or so ago to look at some of the upgrades and rehab of the Choro Creek area, and I was very impressed with it at that particular time. But it was obvious that there was still some kind of discharge coming from that facilities. I don't know what the resolution is except for removing the chlorine, but to get $7 million, I don't know where that's going to come from and how long that's going to take. And I expect that within the next couple of years, we're going to see, maybe not you, sir, but your counterpart is going to be here saying the same thing that you just got through saying. So I will agree and I will compromise. When I first looked at this, I didn't think that the fine was high enough because past history. But with the circumstances, I'm willing to compromise and go along with the staff's recommendation.
Okay. The staff's recommendation, or, I mean,
advisory,
Mr. Briggs is
advisory
not part
team.
Of the staff.
Well,
advisory team.
Advisory teams, okay.
Mr. Chair, maybe this isn't appropriate, but Mr. Jeffries, as far as the habitat situation in the creek, the only information that we heard was about from the Fish and Game representative was about one point in time. It is what it is. We don't know exactly what it is today or what it was in the past. And we haven't had the chlorine violations since I think it was August or something like that. So just want to make sure you weren't overstating the situation.
No, I understand the situation.
Okay.
It's obvious.
And my feel is, actually, I'm kind of more in favor of the numbers I had proposed to staff after hearing Fish and Game give their testimony that in very low levels of chlorine, you get mortality. And that just kind of, you know, bolsters the sense, you know, that I felt that there should be kind of a higher amount for the very huge levels of chlorine that went over 2, especially now that we have additional testimony based on observation by Fish and Game that flow really probably didn't change all that much. My comment, my comment about the state finances and public agencies, you know, is kind of consistent with what a couple of board members have stated, and that is we need to treat a public agency the way that we would any private individual. I mean, it's we look at the conduct, the discharge, the effect, and it should be, you know, pretty consistent. And if the state is having budget problems, which it is, those will be rectified in time, and I wouldn't want to use that as some factor in not assessing, you know, which an otherwise maybe appropriate penalty based on other factors.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to interrupt that in fact you can consider ability to pay, and ability to pay by a public agency versus a private entity, you still consider that. So you know, the requirement is that you pay the penalty within 30 days, and so certainly considering the ability to pay, given the state's finances, is a reasonable factor to be evaluating in your deliberations.
Ability to pay within 30 days?
Well,
or what? Ability to pay?
If they don't pay within 30 days, it becomes an enforcement issue by the enforcement team. But all I'm pointing out is that you consider everybody similarly, but okay, you consider ability to pay, and a government agency's ability to pay is whatever it is for the government agency, and a private entity's ability to pay it is whatever it is for them. So
here we're dealing with state government,
not
just a county or a city.
I just, you consider it in the way you consider it, but you not like disregard it.
Right.
It's that you still are allowed to consider it.
For
11. So. And the money still on the ACL, doesn't that go into the cleanup and abatement account?
Yes, it does.
So, I mean, these are tax dollars, but they are just being rerouted to other important functions that, you know, the water agencies carry out to protect, you know, water quality and cleanup pollution. anyway, I would be supportive of Mr. Briggs' recommendation. You know, certainly if it was a higher amount, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I'd go along with the recommendation, which would be $76,000.
Mr. Chairman, before
yes.
We have a motion, Mr. Thomas was just pointing out to me that I imagine your request as far as the 90 days, that was for the SEP.
Yeah,
that
you can't
for the
do
SEP.
That for this. Yeah.
And so you were saying that it's got to stay the 30 days, but it's
correct.
Discretionary.
Right, and then the you have the discretion to not do a collection
okay.
action.
Okay, I'll say never mind then.
Okay, all right. Any other board discussion, comment? Okay.
Okay, I will move to approve R32009-0029 for the
administrative. Yeah, it should read R32009-0027.
Administrative civil liability, modified to reflect the change in the penalty to $76,000.
Okay.
Any other changes?
Any other changes, Francis?
I'm checking.
I don't think so.
Then I'll second.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Did we have any other changes, Mr. Swanberg, Mr. Enforcement Team? Did we have any other changes to this?
I think that your deliberations adequately capture
okay.
the sense of the board. And I've been going through this myself to see if any other are legally
right.
required, any other changes in the findings. I don't think they are.
Okay,
thank
great.
You.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Mr. Hayashi?
Yes.
Okay, you're opposed. All right, motion carries. And we will take a recess then for about 15 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
We will resume with